Hello, entrepreneurs, dreamers, business owners, and happy people with high hopes. Welcome to Cash Flows with your host, Cash Matthews.
Well, hello, happy people. I'm Cash Matthews. Welcome to our show. It's called Cash Flows. And that has a lot of meaning, but most of them are about me talking. So we are very glad you're here. You know, in life, in business, in entrepreneurship, in running a family or a business, it's so easy to get stuck. And we have a philosophy of fire, aim, ready, where most people approach life, unfortunately, is ready, aim, 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 and they never end up pulling the trigger in the right way. And this is about taking action. You know, we have a philosophy, action cures everything, and not perfect action, just action, regular old boring action, a little bit at a time. You know, if you can get 2% better at what you do every week, then 2% a week in the year is 100% better. And that is how you build businesses. It's how you build a fortune. And it's how you build your self-confidence. So we're glad you're here. We want you to fire in the most excellent of ways. And you know, you'll learn it's okay to copy off your neighbor. Maybe not so much in the third grade, but in life, it's okay to copy off your neighbor. And we're going to bring Paula Dine in here in a minute and visit with her about the Legato School of Music. But before that, let me introduce our brilliant executive producer, Mr. Kenneth Bockham. Kenneth.
How's it going, Cash?
Kenneth, it's going well.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
We had 60 or 70 people at our house today.
Yep.
And, you know, just the community always getting together. And it's about the most fun you can have.
Yeah.
And I've had a very, very good day.
It was exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk a lot in this show about entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we do kind of what do we call the nugget that we give to the people here on the front end? Can we talk about the nugget?
We can talk about the nugget. We have a nugget.
Can you talk about the nugget?
We have a nugget we like to give people at the beginning. It's called
Biz Bites.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, we get in there and do that.
It's fun, man. We are in the groove. Well, I've got something to share today that is very basic. It's very elementary. But without an acknowledgement of what we're going to talk about, I just call them the four boxes of success, that there's four things you must know to run a successful business. And there are lots of people that are great at things. We just had that conversation. I'm great at this, but I'm not great at that. And often as an entrepreneur, you have this thing that you do very well that you love and you're passionate about, but you don't know how to do HR and taxes and running the register and doing the janitorial work and all those kind of things.
Help us.
So block number one in running a business is to be very good at something. Now, you may need to improve at what you do and how you do it. You just may not be very good, and that's a question you should answer yourself. Block number two is this. Do you know how to run the business? See, you can be great at something, but if you don't know how to run the business, success will be elusive at best. Block number three is this. You must know how to market yourself. You know, we're seeing this on a podcast or hearing this on a podcast, seeing it on the YouTube. You got to know how to market yourself. You must know how to let people know that you exist. And that is just slowly moving yourself to the front of the line. And that's called marketing. Marketing is letting people know that you exist. And then number four, you must have balance in your life. If you're who's who in business, but who's he in home, you know, what have you done? You know, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. You're making a bunch of money, but you're doing it by yourself. You're alone.
That's good.
And, you know, I just never wanted to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'd always told my wife coming up because I'm 62 with a 15-year-old. And, you know, when she was little, I told my wife, I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah.
You know, I can come back later and make money.
Yep.
Well, now in my situation, it's later.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter's 15, largely self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot we don't have to do for her. But you've got to have a balanced life because it is no fun doing all this just to end up alone.
No.
Right?
Or end up with grown kids and
don't know.
You don't have any memories with them.
Yeah,
that's not good.
You can get more money, but you can't really get more memories.
No, you can't get that time back.
So that is my advice for the day. So you got to be good at what you do. You got to know how to run the business, and that includes HR and the register and taxes and all of those things. And if you don't know how to do it, then you've got to find somebody to do it, and you must build that into your business plan. Number three is marketing, letting people know you exist. A lot of ways to do that. And number four is balance. So, Mr. Kenneth, that's what I have for us today.
I love it.
That is my biz bite, as we call it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it.
I do too. Thank you.
You know, if our listeners, if you're watching here, and we didn't give you everything, you know, we've got a limited time on these shows, but if you want to reach out to me or Kenneth and have some one-on-one time with us about growing your business, marketing your business, we're not going to charge you. We just love to talk about it. So you can email us at cashflows at what's our website? Tulsa Bong. We're on Tulsa Bong.
That's the one.
Yeah, cashflows@tulsabong.com. And we can have a conversation. We don't have anything to charge you for that. Our goal on Cash Flows is make sure your business grows. So pretty good.
All right.
Pretty good start.
Yeah.
You want to get on to the rest of it?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Well, this is going to be fun. We have Paula Dine in the show today, and she is the founder of Legato School of Music. And Legato is kind of a pattern of how the music flows.
It is.
Am I saying that the right way?
It's a dynamic.
That's what I meant to say.
It means not the note you hit, but how you hit it. It means smooth and connected.
Smooth and connected, yeah. Compared to staccato.
Which is short and brief.
All right. Yeah. I am a staccato man. Short and brief.
Well, let's get smooth and connected and move on with our podcast.
Okay. So Legato School of Music. And you can find them at legatoschoolofmusic.com. Legato's L-E-G-A-T-O. If you don't know school, how to spell School of Music, we need to get a third grade tutor for you as well. Legatoschoolofmusic.com. Paula, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Man, we're glad you're here.
It's good to be here.
So you own a school of music.
I do.
You are a guitarist.
Yep.
And you play other instruments?
I do. I play and teach keyboards as well, and ukulele, and a whole host of other instruments too. I can teach banjo, can teach mandolin. I don't get much call for it, but it's available.
Right.
Music theory, which I love teaching music theory. And surprisingly enough, a lot of people want to know.
Music theory.
Yeah, music theory. How do you know what chords go together? What's a key signature? How do you know that stuff?
What is a key signature?
Key signature, it's a basically, all it is, you know, the do, re, mi scale, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. It's that played from whatever notes. Thank you. It's that played from whatever note is your key signature.
Okay.
And you have to make adjustments to make it fit. If you just play from B to B, it's not going to sound like do, re, mi. You have to make little adjustments in there. And those adjustments, that's your parameter. That's your key signature.
I just sneaked a music lesson in right
there.
You did.
That was smooth.
That's what I do.
Your invoice is in the mail.
Yeah. Talk about your music career when you began with music, because I know it was some time ago.
It's been a little bit, yeah. My mother had a recording of me on reel-to-reel as a four-year-old, playing guitar and banging along and singing and... Yeah, I was always, you know, I'm surprised I didn't turn out to be a drummer, too, because I was always, you know, banging the beat on the back of the car seat, singing, playing bongos. You know, when I was, oh, gosh, I don't even know what grade I was in, third, fourth grade, maybe? My sister and I formed a little duo. She played guitar, I played bongos, and we did Beatles songs for birthday parties.
Wow.
You know? Yeah,
I was
into it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's cool.
So you're a young girl. How did all that turn out for you? Did you play music for a living at some point? All right.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear about that as
I was semi-professional right out of high school.
Oh, okay.
Everybody that signed my yearbook signed it to the queen of rock and roll music at Hillcrest High School, and they, you know, expected to see me on the charts because I played all the time. I jammed with all the who's who of the musicians in the school and the older kids. I was the first freshman in high school to play the talent show. That just didn't happen.
Wow.
But I got up there. I had worked and saved and bought myself a Les Paul, 1979. And guitar players out there will appreciate that.
Yeah.
79 Gibson Les Paul Standard. And
right.
A little dorky, a little peanut amplifier to go with it and a PV Bandit. And, man, I'm like, I'm doing this. I mean, this is what I do. So I got up on stage, and I think Because the Night was the first song that I did in school. And I was in the talent show every year, and other musicians were like, whoa, she's wow. And so, yeah, we started forming bands immediately and playing. So
that's cool. Now, on a professional level, after high school, did you keep up with this? Were you out on the road? Were you on tour?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't call it going on tour. I had played with a high school orchestra when I was in the fifth grade.
Okay.
They needed a guitar player for a big production they were doing. And nobody could do it. And they're like, my cousin who went to, this was Billings High School. And my cousins are like, hey, our cousins are, they're good. They can play. And so my older sister played guitar and I played guitar. I didn't even know the name of my chords. If they'd tell me, they'd say, okay, here's the chords to the song. I'd be like, no, just let me hear it. I didn't want to say, I don't know what a G chord is,
right.
Just let me hear it. And we did Elvis songs.
Wow.
And yeah, and I'd sneak some lead riffs in there, you know, and yeah. And so the guys from that orchestra split off when I was in junior high, and or they call it middle school now. They split off and formed a rock and roll band, and man, they called up me and my sister. They're like, hey, let's do a rock and roll band. And we did. We started gigging out at little fairs and, you know, festivals and things, you know.
So you were getting paid at that early age.
Yeah, people started. Yeah, we started making the door.
That's impressive.
And right out of high school, boom, we hit it running. And I went, you know, I knew that I didn't know as much as I wanted to know about what I was playing. I monkey hear, monkey play.
Right.
I can play anything I hear, but what am I playing?
Right.
So I went to college. I went as a music major to, it was SMSU, Southwest Missouri State University.
Okay.
I don't know, they changed their name. I'm not sure what they changed it to, but.
Yeah, they've all changed the name. They've taken it up.
Yeah, that's you know, confusing.
They're probably like, you know, the SMSU quilts. You know, you can't be an animal or anything like that anymore.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Those have all been canceled out.
Yeah.
So do you have I wanted to be in a band. And
most people did. I'm surprised.
And I did it. A buddy of mine had a band together, and they were pretty good. And 2 weeks before the first big gig at the Votech with 400 kids, the bass player quit.
Oh,
and in Shawnee,
yeah,
Oklahoma, there's not a lot of bass players. I'm like, oh, you need a bass player?
Yep.
And I didn't know anything about the bass. I mean, I'd never played anything. and he goes, you have a bass? And I'm like, what kind of bass player doesn't have a bass? And he's like, do you want to try out with us? And I went, meet you tomorrow. And I went to Parrot Music in Shawnee. And I went and went, I just got hired to be a bass player. I don't even know what it is.
I'll bet they were laughing.
They loved it because I bought a big custom amp. And I don't remember. I didn't know.
Maybe a Fender Jazz bass or something.
I don't remember. I wish I did, but I bought it and I went to the guitarist and I'm like, I don't know how to play anything. And I spent 8 or 10 hours a day at his house learning. We learned 12 songs.
Nice.
And we showed up and I didn't blow it.
Whoa.
Now I couldn't sing. And I realized my mic was unplugged. And after the show, I'm like, hey, Mark, why'd you unplug my mic? He goes, we've heard you sing. And I'm like, but
it's
I looked like I was
way.
Singing. It was one of my I've had some great rock and roll moments.
Yeah.
And I learned to play the guitar a little bit. I manage money for a living, and I manage money for some pretty heavy rock stars.
Nice.
That made it up and, you know, flew on jets and stuff and were on TV. And yeah, if we have time, I'll tell you my favorite rock star moment. But we're here about you, not me.
Oh, man. Yeah,
but
I'd love to hear that.
I love it. I still have an acoustic at home and a piano and a set of electric drums. And I'm still, you know, I don't get much time. But when I do have time, playing music
is good for your soul.
That's exactly it. And you get lost in it. And when I hear a song, and I know what a G chord is now, but man, I just hear a song and it does something for me.
Yes.
And
music is healing. It changes. There's a lady, her name is Dr. Carolyn Leaf, and she is a foremost authority on cognitive things.
Right.
She's a cognitive neuroscientist. She's a smart lady. And I've read her books. I listen to her a lot. And, you know, the things can affect you right down to your DNA.
Right.
I mean, it can change your whole body chemistry, can change everything. And music is a very, it's a gift.
Yeah.
It really is a gift from the Lord. And it can take a bad thing and just, it can change your whole day.
Yeah.
Your whole outlook, which affects everything and everyone around you. The whole atmosphere can change. You know, so yeah, it's way more important, I think, than most people realize.
Right. So in your world, you write as well?
Mm-hmm.
You write songs?
Yeah, I'm a songwriter.
You know, the band that I manage money for, they were songwriters, and they explained how they came up with topics. And apparently it was the same one that the Beatles used. They would read the newspaper.
Wow.
How do you determine a topic for a song? Does it just show up?
It does. I'm probably a really different kind of songwriter. I'll feel it like percolating in me. I actually write what I've lived.
Okay.
And I'll be, you know, just going to the car and hear a bird singing a melody, and I'll be like, oh, that's good. And I'll write something from that.
Right.
That's awesome. But the concept always just comes to me. And I actually laugh because I don't really know that I write the songs. I think I pick them up.
Yeah, you reveal them. Maybe.
They're revealed to me. I feel it and I hear it and it just comes out. And I normally when I write, now there are times when I have purposefully written a song.
Right.
Like if I'm paid to do it.
Right.
And somebody wants, you know, I want a patriotic sounding song with a really strong, you know, anthem like lead line, and they tell me
right.
what they want. I can sit down and purposefully write that.
Right.
But my songs that I've written, I get the whole song. I sit down with my songwriting guitar, which isn't even electric most of the time, and it just comes, it just flows.
Right.
And I've got to really hustle to keep up with it. I've got to hustle to write down the, you know, some of the voicings might be really unique. And a lot of times now what I'll do is I'll just hit record on my phone on video and play it so that I can get the right voicings and the right everything and just get it down so I don't lose it.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So have you ever written songs out of tragedy?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's when
yes.
the things in my life,
yeah,
everything else just sort of slows down and
yeah.
Loses focus.
It does.
And
yeah.
then that's, I mean, I've always turned to music at that point.
Yes.
Because it can take you somewhere.
Yeah. There's a lot of songs like on my, because I've been a studio musician. I still am. I get called here and there to do this and that. And I finally got to make my own CD in 2013. We released it. 2016 we released it. And one of the songs on it's called The Greatest Fall.
Mm.
And that song came out of some experiences I had where someone really close to me really let me down hard.
Mm.
And I didn't see it coming. And I spent a lot of time with the Lord. I spent a lot of time having him work on me to get me through it, because
right.
it was quite the blow. And that song, The Greatest Fall, came out of it because I realized the source of that was not the person. The source of that was just, you know, people.
Right.
Just people's weaknesses.
Right.
And how the Lord dealt with that. And so The Greatest Fall, I think that was either the first or the second song that we released as a single. And that song came directly out of that.
Very cool. We're going to take a quick studio break here. We're at the 20-minute mark, I think, or thereabouts. And Mr. Kenneth, who are we saying thank you to today?
Well, Cash, today I'm going to introduce you to your executive producer, Kenneth Bauckham. I'm here to help bring your awesome ideas to life. I specialize in helping businesses explode their online presence through professional photo, video, and virtual event production with a rapid turnaround. It's commercial photo and video services with a personal touch. Learn more at KennethBauckham.com.
Nice work, sir. What a pleasure it is to work with you, if I haven't said so yet. Are we supposed to be having this much fun?
I don't know if we're allowed to have this much fun, but we're doing it anyway. That's for sure.
I think we should lower our fun meter.
Our fun meter?
Hello, welcome to Cash Flows.
Just bring it down and, yeah.
Slow down the biz bites. Biz bites.
Well, I mean, we have tools for that.
Yeah, we do. Anyway, my whole point, I'm having fun working with you.
Yeah.
Is it fun for you to work in the studio?
It is. I like it. It's one of my favorite things. I love the process.
We have had more fun messing with that's called the thingy-majig.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's...
It can do all sorts of cool stuff. Yeah.
See, we love it.
There you go.
All right. So you've been out on the road. You've played with a lot of people. You've been invited to play by lots of people. I think we need to... We're calling this section name dropping.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we would love to hear.
Not my favorite.
Well, I understand, but that's not this show is about to get to know you, whether it's favorite or not.
Yep.
And so let's talk about some of the people you've played with.
Oh, boy.
A little bird told me that you had, played with some people.
Yeah, I have. I've gone, back in the earlier days, I actually, in one of my guitar lessons, I had this goofy student, and one day he just told me his life story and how he met the Lord.
Wow!
And the Lord came right into the room there, and I gave my life to Him. I gave my life to Jesus in a guitar lesson of all things. And
good news there.
So yeah. So then after that, I kind of I was still playing out in bands and things. Of course, it's a profession. It's what you do. And but I also started playing in church.
Yeah.
And Reba Rambo came to church, and I played with them quite a lot, and that was fun. And so I've played for Jim Stafford. I was his guitar player, before. Before we moved here, and I've played with,
What was his big hit?
Spiders and Snakes.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't like
Spiders
and Snakes.
And My Girl Bill. And
My Girl Bill, one of my favorites.
I know. He didn't do that one in the show. I was kind of disappointed, but
yeah.
Are you familiar
with that song?
I'm only familiar with the name because I've seen some shows in Branson at the Jim Stafford Theater.
Uh-huh.
I got it. William's hands were shaking as he took his glass of wine.
Yep. Oh my gosh, that song.
Hilarious. Well, that's cool. He's a big name in the music industry. Yeah.
Did you know that he wrote the entire score for Fox and the Hound?
Ooh,
Disney's
that
Fox
movie.
And the Hound movie. He did.
I did not know
he
that.
He sure did. He wrote it all.
Oh, wow.
Man. And when you listen to it, if you know that, you can hear him in it. You can hear his pizzazz, his style.
Mm, right.
Yeah, he wrote that whole soundtrack.
Wow.
We got to stop talking about that movie before I start singing.
Yeah, well, that's strictly forbidden in our contracts.
Yeah, in our contracts.
Yeah, FCC.
That he just now thought of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, so anybody else of note that you... this is name dropping.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah. Okay. So back in the early 90s, I had a student, a little four-year-old kid named Austin, and he had hair, down to his waist, and he had the moves, and his dad was a DJ at the local radio station that would get all the big names in, and he bought his son, had him custom-made BC Rich guitar, got him a little Richie Sambora hat. Well, he became friends with the band Poison.
Right.
Real good friends, and they loved him, and they loved Austin. Now, Austin was exceptionally talented and gifted, this kid, and he brought him in to take lessons from me, and so I'm like, okay, well, he had just turned 5, and he was learning his alphabet, and I thought, okay, well, we're going to color code the chords. There's the green chord, there's the red chord, there's, and I put little stars on. Well, he was learning to play because he was extremely talented, And so one day, Tim was his dad's name, Tim Austin, on the radio. He called me one day, and he goes, hey, I just had a talk with Brett and the guys, and he said, you know, he said, they told me that, you know, CC DeVille's having some problems. He shows up, you know, to the show and can't play it.
Oh.
And falling off the stage and, you know, having some issues.
Struggling, yeah.
Yeah, struggling. That. And he said, you know, the record label's done and the management's done and they're done and, you know, they want a replacement, he said, and they've been wondering who's teaching Austin. And I told him about you. And he said, you know, he said, they said, get her to Kansas City when we're there and let's put a guitar there. Can she play our stuff? And Tim's like, dude, she's playing your stuff in clubs every weekend. You know, she's playing Kansas and Boston and Hart and
right.
Zeppelin and Hendrix. Yeah, she can play your stuff.
She,
you know, she yeah.
She'll do.
And they said, well, you know, get her up there, you know, and we'll put a guitar in her hands. And if she can play, she's in. And he's out. I had it.
Wow.
I had it. And that was an opportunity, man. I'm going to jump on that with all fours. And I kind of felt I had a kind of a not a some misgivings about it. And I thought, well, that's just me. That's I'm just being weird.
Right.
And so I ignored it and pushed it off. And the day came and, you know, left for Kansas City. And man, the further down the road I got, you know, the worse the feeling became until it was just like this heavy thing sitting on me. And I thought, man, what is my problem? What is wrong with me? And I turned around and went back home.
So you never made the audition?
I never went. I knew, as odd as it sounds, I knew that if I went... I thought it was a psychic premonition. Now, this was before I met the Lord.
Okay.
And I, you know, I knew some things just enough to be literally dangerous right. to myself. And I thought, well, this is the strongest psychic premonition I've ever had in my life. If I go there, I'm going to die.
Oh.
And I thought, whoa, what in the world? I thought, well, maybe there's going to be a car wreck on the way there or a car wreck on the way back. But whatever it is, yeah, it became really heavy and it became really serious and it became very real. And I thought, well, I can't go to this meeting. So I turned around and went home. And unfortunately, my friend got really upset with me. He didn't really speak to me after that. And I thought, you know, this is crazy. This makes no sense at all. And so, and plus, I would have been letting down my band that I was gigging with. I mean, I would have left them high and dry completely.
Right.
And I didn't want to do that to them. But that's not what this was. And I knew it. It was really overpowering, and it was really literally a pivotal changing moment in my life.
Okay.
And so several years later, after I met, you know, my goofy student, and he tells me how, you know, he's always happy-go-lucky. He's always talking about he and his wife talked to the Lord, and the Lord said this. I'm like, what the? Okay, whatever, dude. You do you. And but he came in my studio, you know, that day and told me how he used to be a drug dealer and hated life. And I was like,
yeah,
you?
Wow.
Out of you, I know. And so anyway, but I did meet the Lord. Well, years later, I came to find out that thing that happened to me, that is called a check from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's called a check from the Lord. And I wasn't obeying him. I wasn't even trying to. But I realized it had been him
right.
saying,
the whole time,
no,
yeah.
don't do this. And I had a choice. But boy, it didn't feel like I did because it was very, very real.
Yeah, and intuition sometimes
yeah.
is just God tapping you on the
That's
shoulder.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
You know?
And so, you
well,
know.
Well, good on you for following
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did. And so years later, I had another opportunity come up and the Lord said no. And I'm like, this is just poison all over again. Why do you put my dreams in front of me and take them away? It's so mean. But but it wasn't. And he showed me one day, of all the crazy things, I read a book written by Mickey Dolenz, who is.
Oh, yeah, from the Monkees.
Yeah, the drummer from the Monkees.
Yeah.
And he talked in that book about the influences on them and what it did to them and what it did to their lives. And I was in prayer one day, actually, and the Lord showed me. He showed me Hendrix. He showed me Janis Joplin. He showed me Randy Rhoads. He showed me a whole plethora and string of really talented, gifted musicians that aren't with us any longer.
Right.
And then he said, do you think you would have fared any better? And that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. I'm like, well, I never was one for doing drugs, you know, or anything like that. But, you know, if you get steeped in a culture, you can get sucked into it.
It makes it a lot easier for sure. Well, so let's fast forward. And how did you become the owner of Legato School of Music?
Well, we moved down here in 2010.
And where is that from?
From Branson.
From Branson,
we moved from Branson because, you know, if you want to make a living, if you've got kids, and I did, and you want to make a living, and I did very much, for the consistency, you go to Branson or somewhere like it. So I did. And I met Justin there, and we got married, my husband, and he owned a recording studio, and I worked for him for a while, and we got married. Happy story.
Yeah.
And so I was down here, we're going to Rhema, and I'm like, well, you know, where can I command the most income? Well, of course, money. Money is related to music for me. That's what I do. You know, lawyers practice law, plumbers do plumbing. I do music.
Right.
And so I went to work for the previous owner of Legato, and I was there for about a year. And one day he called and said, well, you know, all you teachers, you're going to have to find somewhere else to teach. And I was like, what? Why?
Why? Yeah.
And he goes, well, I'm closing it down. And I said, well, why would you do that? And he's like, well, he had another lifelong dream that he had an opportunity to pursue, and he was going to go for it. And, and he goes, you know, I just, I've listed it for sale, and nobody's buying it. And I said, well, dude, we've been looking for a business to buy for a couple of years now. And there's this stunned silence. And I'm like, well, let's talk. And so
That's such a cool story.
Yeah. So I ended up buying it with Justin's blessing. And all the teachers were ecstatic because it's a home. I mean, my vocal teacher is Alaska Holloway, who was on The Voice season six. She's really good. And all the teachers there. And it's our home.
Yeah.
It's not just a school. It's our home. And a lot of us have been there for quite a while. And they were like, oh, are you going to buy it? Are you going to buy it? Are you going to buy it? And I'm like, yes, I'm going to buy it. And that was in 2019.
Wow.
So,
and so you were going right into COVID the next year.
Oh, yeah. Little known to us.
How'd that affect you?
Not as bad as it could have. That was the year. So that was the first year. I bought it in March of 2019. And in 2020, we won Broken Arrow Best Music School Award.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quick.
Yeah. It was cool. And then COVID
came. So you buy the store, and then are you teaching at that point?
Uh-huh.
Or are you, okay, so you started teaching.
Yeah.
Along with buying the store.
Yeah. Well, I was teaching there first, and then I bought the store.
So in your first, when you're teaching, there was guitar primarily what you taught?
Well, actually, no, I was teaching, keyboarding too.
Right.
Yeah, guitar and keyboarding. And if there's an instrument, somebody walks in the door and they want to learn it, and I know that I know it and can teach it, then I'll teach it. So that's kind of how I got.
Could you teach a 62-year-old stubborn man?
I do. I have.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about the stubborn part, but yeah, I've actually got quite a few retirees that come in and take lessons because, you know, their kids are grown. They're like, okay, I've wanted to do this all my life. I've waited long enough. Let's go. And yeah.
I don't know, man. I hate to. That's part of losing out on the dream, waiting till you're 62 to do something. But I also greatly admire somebody who does that. That says, "I'm not quite finished yet.
Yeah,
let's have Thank you, sir. May I have another? Let's go have another life lesson."
Well, and it's not too late. I mean, look, the Rolling Stones are still playing.
Right.
Those guys, Aerosmith is still playing. They're amazing. It doesn't matter how old they are. They're still rocking it, man. You see them walk on stage, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, my 15-year-old is worried about leaving a world good enough and clean enough for Keith Richards. Yeah, I mean, the longevity of some of these bands now with a lot of the comeback bands. I mean, it's actually kind of neat.
It really is.
I had tickets to the brand new Stones tour in either 80 or 81. And I ended up not being able to go to the show. And I was looking in my junk box the other day. There they are, brand new tickets.
You should frame those.
Yeah, I forgot. I mean, this was a
great. Those are a collector's item now, probably.
Yeah. And if I knew a Stones fan, I would just give them away or something.
Yeah.
But Can we take that off? Because my phone's going to ring now.
I'll see if I can get it.
Okay. Yeah. I appreciate that. So Legato is now, it's more than a music store now, or it's more than a music room or lessons.
Music school, yeah.
But you started a store.
I did. I added music retail last year, and I had actually been working on that for a year before I implemented it. But yeah, there was there's so many limited places, you know, to go if you're in Broken Arrow or Coweta, you know, the area to get a good instrument that's affordable.
Right.
And there really isn't anywhere that I recommend. I mean, I did have one place that I would recommend people to go, and I had several students have not a stellar experience there.
Okay.
The people are nice, but, you know, there are some policies that just aren't customer friendly
type things.
Yeah. So, you know, and when I recommend a place, that's my name going on the line there.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, if somebody goes somewhere, I send them and they have a bad experience, I take that a little personally. I'm like, oh, geez, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I decided, you know what, we need somewhere here in BA where somebody can go and get a really nice guitar affordably, or a decent amp, or a nice drum set, or, you know, something. And let's try to keep it affordable for people, because I've been on the end of that where, you know, couldn't afford a guitar, couldn't afford, you know, what you needed.
Can your fans find the music store on Legato School of Music also?
I don't know if we've incorporated the store on the school's website. That's kind of in process.
Okay.
But they can definitely call, text, come by.
And where is your store?
We're on the corner of Elm and Houston, or Elm and 81st in Broken Arrow.
Okay.
816 South Elm Place.
Sounds like I've got a trip to make.
There we go.
I am all in for that. I can't wait to look.
I've got a sweet Schecter bass in there that's a 5-string that's on consignment.
Oh, yeah.
And we do consignment stuff.
Well, I have a bass. I gave it to my daughter. She just wanted to put stickers on it. And, I've got an acoustic guitar that I love to play it when I can.
Nice.
And but I want to get better. Like, it's time.
Yeah.
I'm either I'm going to have to go for it or forego it.
Yeah, exactly. And it never leaves you.
Yeah.
It never. If I had a dollar for every person that came to me and said, oh, I wish my mom had made me stick with lessons. I wish I hadn't quit. I wish I'd have played. I wish, you know, it's like, well, pick it back up.
All right. Well, so what are the future plans for Legato going forward?
So future plans, we have... my mind just blanked the minute you asked me that. We have a lot of things to do. So I did inadvertently, through a thing that is totally not my doing, I ended up being nicknamed Paula Guitar Ninja at Rhema. Hmm.
Paula Guitar Ninja.
That's what they, and I
that's
did.
That's awesome.
I swear I did not do that myself. They did that, and it stuck. And so I was Pastor Hagen's favorite lead player, and they would give me lots and lots of features where I'd get up and do, you know, basically a long solo for offertory, and they'd be like, Paula Guitar Ninja. So I have a YouTube channel that is Paula Guitar Ninja. All one word.
All right. Paula Guitar Ninja.
Yeah.
On the YouTube. All right.
So we're going to, I have many requests. I've done one video, and that I didn't want to do. It was like pulling teeth, but we did it to Joe Satriani's song that I used to do in the clubs called Surfing with the Alien. Used to be one of my little trademarky songs back in the day. And I was just goofing around and said, hey, I wonder if I still remember that song. And one of my teachers came through and he goes, we're videoing that and we're going to put that on YouTube. And they did.
Wow.
So there it is. And so people now want more.
Yeah.
And so, okay. We're moved now. We're getting settled in, so I should have opportunity to run over some stuff and start posting more of those.
Is it going to be more about business, or is it going to be more about you playing the guitar?
Well, those two are so intertwined that I am having trouble separating them. There's that, and then we're also going to be starting to do a lot of, like, little shorts.
Okay.
You know, little tiny little hit nuggets, you know, like how do you do a decent vibrato on guitar? Here's how you do it. How do you, you know, how do you do a hammer on or a pull off or a slide, or, you know, how do you, you know, what's this technique? How do you tune your bend? How do you make your string bending sound good? Things like that. So we'll be posting lots of that on the Legato you know, Legato, page two, the Legato YouTube channel as
Beautiful.
Well.
Beautiful. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
We're coming to the end of the show, but as this is an entrepreneurial style show, would you be willing to share a business tip for any of our listeners?
A business tip.
Business tip, life tip, guitar tip.
Well, you know, for me, it's probably going to focus on music because
well,
that's
okay.
Yeah. My tip would be for anybody that, you know, thinks, hey, I would like to teach. Like to teach guitar. I'd like to teach bass. I'd like to. And by the way, I do teach bass, too.
Right.
It's a lot of what you said earlier, a little bit every day.
Yeah.
The consistency. That's
right.
Where you see your growth.
Right.
So I would say just be as consistent as you can. The length doesn't mean you don't have to practice 20 minutes a day.
Okay.
You know, go over what you need to go over. Go over something if it's a challenge to you, even if you're rushed, even if you're not in the mood, even if you don't feel like you're in the groove pocket. Run over it a time or two, put the instrument down, walk away. But if you do it consistently every day, every once in a while, you're going to have a gusher. Every once in a while, you'll play for 45 minutes and not realize it, you know, and you enjoy it. And that's what, so consistency, just be consistent. Be a musician first before, you know, before you want to be an instrumentalist or anything like that. But just consistent, just hit it every day, just a little bit. Take bites.
All right. We've got it straight from Paula Dyan, who almost was the lead guitarist for Poison. Was it lead guitar?
Okay. Yep.
Well, you know what? I'm glad it worked out the way it did because you're sitting right here with us.
I am too. It turned out good. I'm alive and well.
You're alive and very cool. We're going to wrap this show up for today. So first, thanks to Paula for spending some time.
Thank you.
We know time is valuable and that when you're here with us, that's an investment from you into our world. And we thank you for that. To our sponsors who keep this show on the air. And to all of you out there watching who are listening, liking, sharing, and downloading this show, we thank you, and we hope you'll continue to do the same. So let's do this. Let's be nice to each other. Let's make good choices for our families. And more importantly, today, let's find somebody to forgive, especially if they do not deserve it, because forgiveness is not about that other person. It is about you and absolutely unchaining yourself from the past and giving yourself the freedom to move forward. We're glad you're here. This show is Cash Flows. And always remember, this show is about you.
That's our show for today. Stay tuned for another riveting edition of Cash Flows.